I'm Joe Wood, and I believe.
October 16, 1957, São Francisco de Sales, Brazil. Farmer Antonio Boas is working at night to avoid the hot daytime temperatures. While plowing his field, he sees what he describes as a red star in the night sky. It moves close to him. He sees it as an egg-shaped aircraft with a red light on its front and its top rotating. The craft then extends three legs and lands. Boas tries to flee, but his tractor's power fails. Four small humanoid creatures wearing gray overalls seize him and take him aboard the craft. Inside, he is stripped and examined. Later, he claims he was seduced into intercourse by a female humanoid. Later, he was released and able to watch the craft shoot off into the sky.
Welcome to Alien Nation, the ongoing series about extraterrestrials and UFOs, which asks the question, are we alone? I'll be talking to celebrities and everyday people who also believe and have their own incredible stories to share. We'll talk about well-documented cases, we'll examine the theories and the counter-theories, but mostly we'll just share our own personal experiences together. So get in touch with your own stories. I'll tell you how to do that at the end of the show. Last week, I spoke to the editor of UFO Truth magazine, and he had so much to tell us that we've brought him back for a second week to tell us more. Welcome again, Gary Heseltine.
Yes, lovely to speak to you again.
Now, I want to ask you about the PRG World Disclosure Awards, the award you got in 2010. What was that for?
The PRG is an organisation run by Steve Bassett. Steve Bassett is the world's only political lobbyist. He's an American, and he's been doing this for around 20 years. And he, at various times, he has given awards for disclosure and whatever. And in 2010, he invited me to what was called an EXO conference in Washington, D.C. in May of 2010. And I went, and I'm honestly, it's not very often I'm lost for words, as you've probably gathered, but I was completely lost for words when he suddenly, at an evening presentation dinner, called out my name and said, I'm presenting you with this disclosure award. And it was for my work with the police database, which by then had been running 8 years, and we were probably looking at 300 cases involving 700 or 800 police officers at that time. And so because of that work, I got presented with this award, and I was absolutely flabbergasted. My mouth went dry, and I, for a few seconds on the way up to the stage, I was dumbfounded, and that doesn't happen very often.
That's so funny. Oh, what a lovely thing to get an award. That is great.
Oh, absolutely. It's a real honour, and it's with some very prestigious people. So, in a sense, after that, I then, in a sense, arrived on the world stage, and from that point on, I've done international lectures. So it was very good for exposure for me, and I've travelled all around the world since and got involved in other things, including recently in 2018 in Moscow, representing Great Britain or the United Kingdom in a proposed Chinese disclosure initiative and plans to get a world organisation of delegates on a UN United Nations style forum of delegates created, and that's still an ongoing process that I'm involved in. So it's led to many, many weird and wonderful places that I've got to, and no doubt yourself, of you all go around the world on these weird and wonderful journeys, and yet never once have I not enjoyed them, and I've met some fantastic people along the way.
Yeah, and you also have got two international conferences you organise.
Yeah, when I decided to retire early in 2013, that was in March. In April, I created UFO Truth magazine. I'd had the idea to do it for a while, and when I was contemplating retirement, I'd gone to a lot of the world's top researchers who I'd met by then and asked the ones that I thought were really credible, would you write either regularly or as an occasional columnist? And most of them said yes. Time permitting, from doing their own research, etc. And that's how the magazine started. And it's a 96-page bimonthly. It's not in print. It's an e-zine.
A 96-page, you said?
Yeah, every 2 months.
Jesus.
I produce a 96-page magazine, which you've just signed up to, which is very nice. Thank you. But it's designed now for smartphone technology and tablets. So at one time, the idea of reading off a computer screen was a nightmare, because it wasn't scrollable, you couldn't make the words go bigger, it was very cumbersome. But with the invention of smartphone technology and scalable wording, it meant now that you can read a book, have 10,000 books on your Kindle, so it'll play on the Kindle and just turn a page like a book. And so it was created, and the beauty of that is that there's no overheads. I did look at one point to try to get it in print initially, but I was quoted something like £100,000. You'd have to put your house up as collateral, and it's a specialist field, and you may fail, which was too big a risk. So with the advent of smartphone technology and e-books, it made sense to go down the line of a bi-monthly publication. Yeah. But I have many of the world's top researchers writing for the magazine, either on a regular basis or an occasional basis, and I'm very lucky. And we're now up to issue 37. 38 is due at the end of August. So I'm very lucky to, again, have retired and to do a job that is a passion.
Yeah.
And very few people get to do what they really like in life. And I count myself very lucky.
Yeah, that I'm looking forward to seeing reading my first 96 pages.
Well, I've sent you it, so you should have begun reading it by now.
Oh, okay, I'll definitely look for it. Oh, yes, I have seen it, but I haven't started reading it.
There you go. I think you've been on holiday, so
yeah, I have. Now we talked about briefly about Rendlesham. So, for our listeners, maybe you could give us a brief about what's out there already about Rendlesham?
It's extremely difficult within the time frame that we've got to give a fair summary, but I'll try my best.
Okay.
Basically, it's Britain's most famous case.
Yeah.
It's now regarded as one of probably the top five cases in history.
Yeah.
And it's arguably up there with the famous Roswell case from July 1947, the crashed disc and recovery, which most people will have heard of, even though they may have no interest in the subject. But in many ways, the Rendlesham case has more information, has more evidence than the likes of Roswell. And what I mean by that is what's basically happened is that over a number of consecutive nights, in late December 1980, essentially most of the witnesses were United States security police specialist policemen, most of which were guarding nuclear weapons.
Yeah, because it's an army base, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, not army, Air Force.
Oh, Air Force base,
There were two bases in Suffolk, and basically they were 2 miles apart. They were leased from the Royal Air Force. And they were the least of the Americans, and it was RAF Bentwaters and RAF Woodbridge. And in between this 2 miles, separating the base, is a forest, which we now know as Rendlesham Forest. Nobody really knew its significance then, but this is where many of the alleged incidents took place in and around the bases. So both in and around the bases and in the forest itself, there were many repeated events. And what my reinvestigation of the case over the last 2 years for the documentary Cape Hope Green that I'm involved in will be released later this year, it has revealed that we may be looking at something like 15 to 20 incidents, separate incidents involving different people over 3 or 4 nights of activity. Unfortunately, the case has been marred for many years with a lot of political intrigue. And I think that is deliberate. I think the Americans did not want to admit that their security police had got involved in anything and for a long time denied that they did. However, in 1983, the case hit the national British headlines and went around the world kind of viral in October 1983 when the News of the World published this big story, UFOs Land in Suffolk, It's Official. And they called it It's Official because they'd got hold of this piece of paper that was a US Air Force document, which is now not referred to as the Holt Memo, the Holt Memorandum, as it's called. Mm. And it's called that because it was written by the then Lieutenant Colonel Charles I. Holt, who was the deputy base commander of the two bases. And he wrote this memo, and basically it was a one-page memo to the Royal Air Force because the incidents that he was describing had occurred on British soil. And he was basically told, this has occurred on British soil, you should let the Royal Air Force and indirectly the Ministry of Defence know about it. So he did, and he wrote this one-page memo. But here's the key thing. This memo has become arguably one of the top five military documents in UFO history. Really? And it's only got three paragraphs, but it's incredible. The first paragraph admits that security police, US Air Force security police, came across a landed, unknown, structured object in a clearing in the forest that was approximately 3 meters by 3 meters and triangular in shape. Yeah. So that's amazing, unknown origin. And then in the second paragraph, it says that the object left ground impressions, i.e. had put weight into the soil and had left triangular depressions. But the third paragraph for me has always been the most important because Holt, who wrote the memo, actually said in the third paragraph, I went out there trying to debunk this, but I saw multiple UFOs myself. Well, it's not very often you get the deputy base commander of what was a nuclear base going on paper to say this. And when this document came out, which the Americans had denied all knowledge of for 3 years, it was a revelation, and quite rightly a revelation. And I think since then, the Americans have tried to clamp down on anything else associated with the Rendlesham case, tried to trivialise it, tried to say, oh, there's nothing to it. And of course, what do the British media do from 1983 onwards in particular? They joined the British establishment. They all massed together and say, yeah, the guys were just seeing a lighthouse. Well, lighthouse.
Oh, yeah, I saw that on this documentary. I saw they said it
at 1,000 feet above your head and then shine a laser beam down at your feet. Yeah. Otherwise, it's a flying lighthouse. And it's ridiculous. And yet, the case has never been properly investigated by the national media because they still want to keep talking about lighthouses instead of doing investigative journalism. Now, if this was a political scandal involving a minister having an affair with somebody, they'd be all over it like a rash. Yeah. Every cranny of detail would be out there. But that doesn't happen with UFOs in the mainstream. They've trivialized it and they still try to do that. So the reality is that what is a fantastic case with, I would admit, I would suspect anywhere up to 100 to 200 witnesses, mostly military, a few civilians on the periphery who live nearby the bases, involved over those few days. It's a massive incident, lots of witnesses, most of which to this day will not come forward because of the politics that's got involved in the case. And it's a real shame because it is a fantastic case.
So in your documentary that you've got coming out, which we won't talk too much about, you really investigate the real Rendlesham, what really happened.
Without giving too much away, it's kind of strange because what most people probably hearing your show for the first time don't realise is that I worked with Colonel Holt, who wrote that memo, for 7 years and collaborated on trying to get a film script, a Hollywood feature film. I wrote the script, he would collaborate with it. Yeah. But after 7 years, I ended that relationship, and I'll not go into why. Suffice to say that I thought he was being unprofessional and knew a lot more than he was telling me. I'd concluded that over a period of time. Oh. Indirectly, so I thought, come 2014, 2015, that I knew all there was about the case. However, in 2017, out of the woodwork, what turns out to be the director of this new documentary called Capel Green, he contacted me out of the blue and said, I've been told, given your number, and you apparently know a lot about Rendlesham, and I said, well, I think I do. And he said, well, I want to make this documentary. And at first I thought it was for TV, but it turns out that it wasn't, and he wanted to make an independent production. He wanted me to be the co-writer and researcher. And so when I realised that that it was independent, and having worked on many TV documentaries and saw how biased they were, and that there were always agendas through TV money, the UFO subject, the bias against the, you know, this kind of crazy subject, when he said it's going to be independent, I thought, well, if I'm going to agree to write this and research it, I best go back to day one again and see if I've missed anything. And I have to admit that I missed a lot. And so it was going through it with fine-tooth comb detail, right back from as soon as the incidents end, right up to the present day, that I found that there was a lot of what I would call, as a detective, I would say, really pertinent information that has never been published in or shown in any TV documentary, of which there's been about 50 to 60 over the years worldwide. And yet these, what I think are really critical details, have never been given to the public. And there probably never will be. But with this being independent,
I
came across so many things that had been kind of like swept away. And I thought, well, no, these are really critical points that should be made to, you know, if you were on a jury, you'd like to know these bits of information. And so that's the kind of way I've looked at it. So I've gone back to day one, and that has took place over the last 2 years. And as a result of that, and with various interviews that have come our way, witnesses that have finally begun to speak, you know, for example, Cable Green will feature three precursor cases. So if the public are led to believe that this was just a lighthouse, well, we're going to give them a different perspective, because there's three cases from February, July and November of 1980, all involving strange objects, you know, probably ET, that lead up to these series of events at the end of December. So this is not an isolated phenomenon. Yeah. This is not a single phenomenon. This is multiple UFO phenomena. And all I'm going to say is that over the course of the 2 years of making the documentary, we have got so many new revelations. And because it's independent, my pledge to the public is I'm going to give you more information than you've ever seen before. And it's a lot of information that in documentaries, TV should have given to the public, that the media should have given to the public, and they haven't. And we've got so many new revelations. I was counting in excess of 30. Major replacements for this. And so I think it will rewrite the way we think of Rendlesham Forest. And it's definitely a UFO event. And in my opinion, definitely an ET extraterrestrial event.
You know, I can't wait to see it, actually. When is it out?
And we're still editing.
Oh, you're still editing?
Well, let me just say there's a slight delay now in the release. It was going to be the end of September, but a couple of highly significant military witnesses have approached us who we never thought we'd get. Oh. And I'm not going to say any more than that, but they are so significant to the case that we'd be fools to ignore that they're finally willing to be filmed. So we've got to kind of organise that, and that's all I can say, but that's the reason, one of the principal reasons for a slight delay now, because they've got to be organised, camera crews and whatever. But these are very, very critical to the story of what we're telling. So we think that it's, you know, we might only get one chance at this. We might as well.
Yeah, you got to put them in. Yeah.
Only if they're of such magnitude, and they are.
How interesting. I can't wait. I really can't wait to see it, because I loved Rendlesham when I first saw a documentary or a TV thing on it, and I thought, fascinating. But to see yours is so exciting. I can't wait.
Well, what I would say to you is, if you ever want to do, like, get me in a room with some people who really want to know some things, then invite me and I'll give you a proper one-to-one. And there's so much stuff out there.
Cool. I'll definitely do that. Definitely. All right. Now, before we go, you have kindly offered us a complimentary copy of UFO Truth to anyone listening to the podcast today. How do they get in touch?
Dead simple. All they have to do is email me, and it's just my name in reverse, HeseltineGary, no spaces, at hotmail.com, all lowercase, and say, I listen to the Joe Wood podcast with Gary Littletine. Can I have a complimentary copy and I'll send them?
Fabulous. And how can they subscribe, I suppose, by the same thing, to your magazine?
I think I've given Mike the links to the magazine. I've given a link. What I would like you to do is push the International Movie Database trailer that we've got out there on the International Movie Database for Capel Green. And there's a link that Mike's going to put out. Watch that. It's sensational. It's fantastic editing, and it gives you a bit of a flavour of what's to come. And believe me, I know what's to come, and it's going to be well worth waiting for.
Gary, I've absolutely enjoyed so much talking to you today. Thank you so much. And we'll definitely come back to you after Capel Green comes out.
Please do. Please do. And I've enjoyed speaking to you. And anytime you want me on as a guest, you've only got to ask.
Oh, thank you, Gary. That's so fantastic. That's our show for today. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please rate us on whatever platform you get your podcast from. It helps people like you find us. Today's show was produced by Mike Hansen for Pod People Productions. Theme music by Mike Hansen and Jamie Allen. Special thanks to Nigel Heath and our narrator, Mike Hansen Sr. If you want to share your stories, we'd love to hear from you. Just email info@podpeopleproductions.co.uk. Subject matter, Alien Nation. Beam me up next time. I'm Joe Wood. And I believe.